I think it's always been hard to write unique intros, avoiding the headline on the lead up to and after the launch of a new console, but the handful of years that separates each one is long enough for me to forget how I handled it last time. Tonight's stories are representative of humanity. Society keeps rolling through all its twists and turns. Some we've seen, some we haven't, some we enjoy, some we scorn. All I would like to say tonight is to support the things you like because you like them. Money doesn't reflect your fun and enjoyment. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to tell you about this week's gaming news. Starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio. We're here and live once again with episode number 1044 of our show for tonight, April the 27th of 2025. Last show of April, if you can believe it. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'm here with you every week on Sunday nights, the Voice Geeks Network, with my co-hosts. First off, the one and only Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Oh, hi.
Oh, hello. How are you doing?
People think they me, but they will just want to be me. They can't be me.
You should become a rapper. I think that would be great. Your little VTuber should be a rapper.
No.
Fine.
No, I shouldn't be.
Fine. Well, how are you doing? You were out a little under the weather last week, if I remember right. So you're back. Welcome back. Yeah. I hope you're doing much better.
I am. I'm just really, I'm pooped. I had a rehearsal today. We are doing a performance to Dancing Through Life.
Oh, from Wicked?
Yeah.
I love that song of the movie because Jonathan Bailey, that's all I have to say.
We have been nicknaming him as a sexy man.
Mm-hmm. Fun fact, he is tied to video games. He's the voice of Gra'Hatia in Final Fantasy 14 and still does it, even with all his other commitments, which is amazing.
Indeed. But I also am going through physical therapy, so I have been doing physical therapy exercises this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out for my leg, I had sprained my quad, I tore my hamstring. Not bad. I mean, clearly the muscle isn't like collapsed or anything, but it's enough that, you know, that it hurts. So I've been doing physical therapy this morning as well. Then I went to dance. I have dance tomorrow night. I have physical therapy all week, and then I have dance on Wednesday.
Busy.
I'm literally now that person that says, I'm sorry, I can't. I have dance.
Just dance. It'll be okay. Da, 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 da.
Well,
anyone? All right.
It feels great, though. I mean,
no, it's like, good.
I'm sore afterwards, but I feel like this is where I start like getting the improvement that I wanted to get in ballet. And I feel like I might be on my way to my goals. But I did... character shoes are terrible. End of story.
I actually feel a little bit similar to your journey, but with walking. I mean, I know it's not as intense, but I've been really like, even my little Apple Health summary thing, because, you know, I wear the watch and stuff, tells me like, you've been getting more exercise these last few weeks than you have in a long time. Your heart rate has been recovering better. And da-da-da. It's like, yeah, because I've been like walking like all the time. You know, and part of that is gaming to thank. You know, I do credit Pikmin and to some extent Pokemon. Had a community day today in Pokemon Go, so a little bit of that, and of course Ingress, which I've been playing forever. All that stuff is just like incentivizing to walk. And speaking of Pikmin, they just announced that next month they should really be paying me with as much as I promote this game, but they don't, just so you know. Next month they're doing classic console Pikmin. So all the Pikmin that you hatch from special seedlings will be like NES classic Nintendo. There's a little pink one you can see with a Game & Watch themed. And I was like, well, this is the one where they convinced me to spend my money.
You don't have to actually use it.
No, you don't have to actually play the games on them. They're just little decorative things. So they really don't mean anything.
I actually haven't even opened the app since last week.
So. Oh, bummer. Yeah.
So, I guess we'll see if I do. I can say, though, that just dancing today was for an hour of dance,
mm-hmm.
about 2,500 steps.
Nice. Good.
Counting all my jumping and spinning and turning about.
I went on a Pokemon Go walk today and did 2.5, because this was a community day today. I did 2.5 miles. I could have done more, but my tummy was like, get home.
Could have done more.
I could have.
Could have done more.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know. I could have. Mm-hmm. And I it also, it was kind of a lame Pokemon today. It was Vanillite was the community day, which especially in the meta is like really
Vanilla
a useless
ice,
Pokemon.
What?
Yeah, no, literally, it's a little vanilla ice cream cone is the, you know, what the Pokemon looks like. The shiny is pink, but then it...
That's the most ridiculous thing ever.
It evolves into, like, slightly bluer than the normal ones. Kind of weird, but anyway.
That's ridiculous.
Going back to our chat, because we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VogNetwork, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show, except there was no Bobby Blackwolf tonight, so if you missed Bobby, he actually was not on this week. He had a prior commitment and was unable to do tonight's show, but he will be back next week, and we'll look forward to seeing you an hour before us at 8 o'clock Eastern next week. S200 Matt says, purple ice cream, ube ice cream. Oh, fuck. Have you ever had... I don't eat ice cream a lot anymore because, you know, of all my health stuff, but like...
Ube, all the things.
Ube, frozen yogurt, froyo, like, which I still shouldn't eat because, like, LOL sugar, but I, once in a while as a treat, oh my God, so good. So, like, seriously, when I, like, I get excited when I see that flavor because, you know, you can never figure out what fucking flavor a yogurt store will have. But when I say, see ube, I'm like, oh, this is it. This is it.
You know what, though? I would have to say of my favorite, I guess, non-traditional Western flavors.
Mm-hmm.
You put black sesame in front of me and I lose my shit. It's great.
All right. I also want to put a pin in this comment from Pod Culture in chat, talking about us. We were talking about Wicked and Jonathan Bailey. Pod Culture said, Rob, but all the books he mauled in that number. You know, yeah, the way they do things in the movies is sometimes different from the books, is sometimes different from the stage show. And I think that's great. They all can be different. I want to put a pin in that because I want to come back to that because there's a lot, you know, we talk about not just gaming news, but like what gamers are talking about online. A lot of people talking about something like this from last week. I'll come back to this. First, I have to introduce, of course, the one and only Techmaster Loki. Hi, Loki.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
And I see tonight behind you, you are enjoying some Elder Scrolls 4 Remastered. The worst kept secret in gaming this last year came true this week. Yeah. Yeah. Did you get a chance to play it or have you only just kind of watched other people?
I haven't played it yet.
I did for a little bit. It's really, you know, not to get too far into my gaming week, but oops. It is like, how do I explain it? It is really that they put the same fucking thing, the exact same thing you remember, bugs and all. And if you've been looking at the TikToks or the Instagram reels or your short form video thing of choice, you've probably been seeing here's the bug in the original game and here's the scroll in Remastered. And it's weird because as much as people bitch and moan about Bethesda and their bugs, this time it is strangely endearing because it is everything you remember wrapped in completely new, shiny, sparkling, beautiful, somehow four-dimensional wrapping paper. Because it's really like mind-blowing graphics. Like the graphics really are good. I played the opening segment where you escape the dungeon. I think everybody knows by now. Patrick Stewart's Uriel Septim character is there. And like I noticed right away when Uriel Septim turns and talks to you the first time, I'm like, oh, his face is so much better. And like, just that was the whole like, oh wow, he actually looks like a person now as opposed to like a potato, like a Mr. Potato Head type of thing. But like the graphics really, like they're even better than Skyrim, to be quite honest. The graphics are really good. Like,
yeah.
And when you get out of that dungeon the first time and you see the whole open world, it really is that moment of like, damn bitch. Like, and so I'm kind of surprised that this was a stealth release, to be honest. I'm surprised Microsoft didn't like, and not just a stealth release, but a stealth release in the middle of April. Like, why?
Yeah, it's really weird.
An E3 drop or a Keeleyverse drop or I'm just really surprised it came out of nowhere.
Besides, I wonder if it got delayed from like something, like it's supposed to come out like at their last announcement thing that they did. Mm-hmm. But you'd think they would have said something. I don't know.
Yeah. And you know, I joked on last week's show that this was going to be a big week for games because you have Elder Scrolls, you know, Oblivion Remaster, and then Clair Obscur Expedition 33 also on Game Pass. So I was thinking like, okay, well, Oblivion does make a nice little like justification to keep your Game Pass account going. So that's good. And then, of course, Clair Obscur also being on that, which I haven't gotten around to yet. I just didn't have enough time this weekend, but I haven't heard a bad thing about it. Everybody that's playing it is like, this, like, Square Enix, like, needs to play this and shut the fuck up that people don't want turn-based RPGs anymore. Essentially, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what I'm getting, is that basically Clair Obscur is giving people that Final Fantasy 15 that they wanted, except en français. That's basically, you know, what I'm hearing about it from the internet, which I'm curious if any of you have played it and your thoughts in chat.
But, I downloaded it, and that's about as far as I got.
Yeah. I have it installed and all that good stuff, but just I chose to play Oblivion Remaster instead just because I was like, well, I probably won't play that one start to finish, but Clair Obscur I'll definitely want to sink into, and I want to make sure I have like a bulk amount of time there. Tiger Claw in chat talking about the Oblivion Remaster saying, that Oblivion Remaster won't be the last. Expect re-releases of this game for the years to come. It'll come out on every platform known to man, every version imaginable. I don't disagree. I think a Switch 2 version is all but a certainty for this. Assuming it will run, because it doesn't run on PlayStation 4 or the last series of Xbox. So I don't know. Maybe Switch 2 isn't a guarantee. But if it can run it, I would say it would definitely happen. I would assume... I know this sounds wacky, but y'all have to be thinking, I would assume they're going to do a Skyrim, which they've already done a super like, but I think they're going to do a Skyrim in Unreal 5. I really do. And it's going to be
that, or like, I would even see like a Fallout before that. Ooh, like a Fallout
that's,
3 or something.
That's actually a really good call out. I would say, especially if they could time the Fallout to go with the series that's on TV. Absolutely. SS2100 Matt in chat says Todd Howard slightly smirking at the thought of a new Skyrim. Tiger Claw pointing out, and lots of mods too. Oh yeah, the mods are already coming out for this game. Some of them very controversial because I don't even know if I want to get into it. But
we can leave it at that.
Okay, yeah, just it's some people want to stir the pot in ways they just don't need to be stirring the pot. That's all I'll say about that. But I do want to, okay, so we're talking about like, you know, remasters and Fallout being on TV. Can I go back to the comment that Pod Culture had said earlier talking about, you know, Jonathan Bailey doing that sequence in the movie. And I said, oh, there's a lot of people talking about different versions of media. I want to talk about The Last of Us. I am going to spoil some things that happened in the second game. That game is 5 years old at this point. My assumption is if you're a gamer and you care about that series, you have played it at this point. So I apologize if I'm spoiling. I'm going to spoil a major plot point because it has to do with the TV show. So if you do not want to be spoiled, I would encourage you to lower the volume for about 3 minutes. I will give you a hand signal on Twitch when I'm done. For those of you on the podcast, you'll need to fast forward about 3 minutes. Give me a minute to do this, okay? All right, here I go. So I'm going to spoil this. So this week on The Last of Us on Max was the episode where Joel dies. And I was really surprised that they did that early on in the show because I thought they would milk this entire season with Pedro Pascal. And then maybe like that would be the big cliffhanger at the end and they would do something different next season. Like next season would be Abby's point of view or whatever it is. But no, they spoiled it on the TV or spoiled it. They showed that sequence on the TV show this week, which would be similar to the events early on in the game. This happens early on in the game to really like change up the tone. But here's the thing. In the TV show, they told you Abby's motivations. They basically, you know, Abby comes out and says, it's something to, I haven't watched the show yet. I'm getting all of this fed through TikTok, and which is great. It's like the new Red Wedding because it's people reacting to the death who have not played the games and are freaking the fuck out. And everybody's like, finally, gamers have their Game of Thrones Red Wedding moment where like, you know, everybody that read the books knew that that was coming. Then now everybody that played the game knew that this was coming. So they just didn't know it was coming this early. So everybody's like freaking out, the people that haven't seen it. But this is important. They gave us Abby's motivations in the TV show right out the gate. That basically the characters
supposed to show, not say.
Exactly. And so in the games, you don't find out Abby's motivations for like 10 more hours in the game. And that's actually a big, if you remember, people did not care for The Last of Us Part 2 because they hated Abby and you were forced to play as Abby for a sequence of the game. And then you found out, oh, Abby is somebody's daughter of somebody who was killed in the first game by Joel. And it's a cycle of revenge. But basically she set her motivation out the gate. And an interesting online theory is that they did not want the actress to put up with the same bullshit that the actors who played Abby had to put up with in the games. Because again, 2020, pandemic lockdowns, people were going through it online. And I mean,
that game is traumatic anyway.
It is traumatic. It's and people going through it and all this stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of people who are shitheads online and all these things about Abby that just don't make no damn sense. And like, you know, just people making up shit about the character and the motivations and the actress and all this stuff. And so it almost feels like in the show, they felt they had to be upfront about it to get around that controversy. I don't like, I'm fine with the show doing its own narrative because also it's only two episodes in. We have a whole season left to go. We don't know ultimately what this payoff may be. We know there are other characters now in the show that are not in the games and all this other stuff. So there, and I don't know how the show is going to give that same experience of playing the game from Abby's point of view and all that. I don't know how that's going to go. So it's weird, but like, even though I don't really watch the show, this whole thing has made me want to watch it. I'm like, clearly yeah, this show is really fucking good. Like, I knew that after the first season, but clearly this show, like, I need to make time because clearly this show, if it is inciting all of these opinions and the reaction video and the, you know, I clearly need to be watching it because it's, yeah. But I mean, there's an example of a different version of the property doing something completely different for its own artistic reasons. Tiger Claw says Pedro Pascal was the show's biggest draw. Are they going to stick around after? I understand that Pedro Pascal is still in the season and it's probably through flashbacks. And we know that the story or that the show has done deeper dives on topics that weren't covered in the games. So Pedro Pascal will still be in the show, but I would expect that he's not in season three. So the show will have to, you know, I don't know what they're going to do with season three. Now it really feels like they're covering the events of the second game. So do they do the Game of Thrones thing and just kind of like go the direction they think the games are going in, or do they allow the creative license?
Well, is there a third game coming out?
Maybe we'll find that out summer. I could see that a third game is announced summer, comes out for holiday, and then they're safe to translate that into a show next year. But I think there's that very real possibility. It's the Game of Thrones thing. We all know he's never finishing the books. We all know he is never finishing the books. So
yeah, he is.
From the great beyond, if he doesn't step on it. He'll have to channel it for somebody to write on stone tablets if he doesn't fucking hurry it up. But those, you know, they had the outline or whatever to do the show off of. So it'll be interesting. Anyway. All right. Some people that may have muted this want us to move on, and we have other topics to get into. So there's my signal. It's safe to listen again. Although all of you in chat were spoiling it anyway. So whatever. But again, the game is 5 years old. Like, I feel if you're very passionate about it, you probably have figured it out at this point. Okay. And you had a week on the show. Okay. Let's move on. I want to get into other kickoff topics for tonight. And obviously the big thing going on in the gaming world has to do with the Switch 2 pre-orders. They happened this last week, for better or for worse. Some people, I think, had some mixed experiences. Jamie, I'm pretty sure you didn't try for one. You kind of made your, I'm not really interested Father. Right now. Yeah. But Loki, I saw a bleat from you on Blue Sky. You did try for this, right? How did that experience go for you with the pre-ordering of Switch 2?
It was messy because like there was a lot of this. I mean, obviously we expected the sites and everything to like not be able to process stuff, or it was going to be a mad rush. But like, for example, Target is where I started, and I was there like I had my you know, essentially my phone down to the second, click the site, all ready to go and stuff to add it to the cart. And then, of course, it kept timing out. So, like, you'd be able to get into the cart and you'd be able to, like, put all your payment information in, all that stuff, and you hit go. And then it's like, oh, sold out. And it's like, okay, but it's in the cart. You can't, you know, how's it selling out already? And then I managed to get everything finally the process to a certain point, and then they wiped all the carts. So at that point, I was like, okay, well, this sucks. I'm just going to try through Walmart and Best Buy. So Best Buy puts you in a queue that you had to wait, and it just waited. It never did anything beyond that. Walmart was a little crazier too. Same thing where essentially you could put it in the cart, hit, you know, process pay or whatever, and they would just error out, and they kept doing that back and forth, and they would say one sold out, one's in stock, the bundle's sold out, the individual's in stock. Finally, I went back to Target again because it's like, oh hey, there's more available now, and I finally managed to, I put it in the cart on my PC and I was able to process the transaction on the app on my phone. So I did finally get one, but it was such a hassle that took like 2 hours when I was like right there at the start. Nine, like, yeah. It wasn't that like I got in a couple minutes late. No, I was there to the second. Like, there's no reason they shouldn't have been able to process that. But so yeah, going forward for future console launches, remember, if you're going to purchase from a retailer online, that one, you're already, prior to it going live, signed into that, you know, site or app or whatever the case may be, you have your payment information saved on file already. Yes. In there.
Yeah, that was my mistake with Target. Target had my wrong address.
Yeah, so you make sure all that stuff's ready to go prior to actually launching. That should help with some of that stuff because it was a mess. It was all over the place. But yeah, finally I did get one, and I did see that some people did manage to get one earlier on the night, but then had their orders canceled. Thankfully, mine has not been canceled, so I'm pretty safe now that it's about, you know, a week out that,
yeah,
probably not going to cancel it, you know. But that's the other thing too with the Walmart or the Target or one of those, that estimated delivery date kept getting pushed out. Mm. So, you know, that's one of the things I know that we're going to be talking about is that, you know, Nintendo's like, well, we can't promise that you're going to have your console day one type thing. I don't know. Honestly, don't really care. It could be the first week. It doesn't matter. But I'm just glad I was able to get one.
I feel like my story is a little bit less dramatic just because I was able to get through on Best Buy. So the biggest problem with Best Buy is that it didn't go live right at 9 for us on the West Coast. It didn't go live right at 9. It didn't go live until like 9:24 or something like that. Like, it was at least a good 20 minutes after the fact that it finally went live. You know, you're just kind of sitting there reloading, and then all of a sudden the button's available, and then the button puts you in another queue that I sat in for probably another 45 minutes. But once all that was said and done, I got one. And technically, if I wanted to go to the store for midnight launch, which I think they're doing, I could. I'm not going for midnight launch. I don't need to play that one that fast, but I will stroll in leisurely on lunch the next day and pick it up. And it's nice to know that it's there and waiting. But that was it. I ended up doing Best Buy, and it ended up being pretty low drama for me. Now, other people, my understanding is it was not low drama. I was watching on our Discord over at vognetwork.com/Discord. People were sharing stories. And at some point, the Best Buy queue kicked a bunch of people out, because I know Bobby got kicked out, which can be very irritating. Another friend of mine at the same time got kicked out in another group chat that I'm in, which was very frustrating for them. I know they both landed. I think they ended up both of them, I think, ended up with the mobile Walmart solution, ended up working for them. I don't remember it in the moment, but apparently that ended up working. This is the weird thing. I actually feel like, all things considered, it went better than I expected it to. And I know that sounds especially fucked up if you're one of the people out there that didn't get one, and I'm very sorry, and you know, the system's being screwy. Like, everybody's always like, the retailers need to put more power into it. They need to put more power into it. But it's like, it's kind of like, the reality is, it's not that easy where they can just turn the graphics up on level 3 or bring in the extra servers for one night type of thing. they're never going to get this right. Never, ever. The only real solution is for this to be available at more retailers. I'm kind of surprised Amazon wasn't one of the retailers. But at the same time, I guess, you know, Amazon, Nintendo have history or whatever. It is what it is. Yeah, Rinmari in chat says, any high demand thing will be like this always. Yeah, that's it. Oh, SG100 Matt was also one of the people that got kicked out when Bobby got kicked out. So a bunch of people got kicked out at some point, which is, you know, annoying. So yeah, it's just that's what it is. And then apparently the GameStop thing for people that did that went pretty well because that ended up being the next day. So you had people that went in store, and I know like Shane was sharing his experience with me because he was the only one I knew that went, and he said they had like between the two types of consoles, between the bundle and the non-bundle, they had like 80 consoles to pre-order, and there were only like 30 people in line. So sounds like a lot of the GameStop people, I don't know, but again, he's in a very rural kind of area. I don't know how those of you like in the Bay Area where tech is very popular, I don't know, the stories are probably very different. But yeah. So anyway, it sounds like, you know, again, I was expecting it to be a lot worse. I was expecting it to be like NES Classic or, you know, other types of Nintendo scarce things to be bad. So I feel like it went better. Oh, this is the other interesting thing. So Alan pre-ordered one as well because he kind of wants one. He's like, you know, yeah, I want a Switch too. Can we both get one? I was like, all right, sure, why not? So he was not able to get it because I think the credit card on Walmart or something was not. We recently switched bank accounts. And so every time we were trying to process, it would come as a text message going, is this really you? Please, that even happened to me the first time on Best Buy. Thank God Best Buy held it for an extra 10 minutes while I could reply, yes, verify or whatever, and then get that through. But the interesting thing with Alan, he was not able to get one Wednesday night. And then it was like, all right, well, whatever, you know, at least we got one. But he got one last night through Walmart. I guess the news came out on social media or somewhere that Walmart suddenly had extras in stock, and we think the speculation is it's people who canceled or did something. What, you want to tell the story, Alan?
Sure.
Yeah, come in here. Okay, Alan's listening to me. He's lurking. Can you like
sure?
Can you lean into this microphone and tell like your story of what happened?
Sure.
And show everybody on Twitch your crotch.
Hi everybody. All right. Yeah, sorry. At least my fly's open or brown, pop, whatever.
All right.
So with Target, it wouldn't save my shipping address. And then because it's like, you've never ordered from us before. And I made sure the credit card number obviously was saved beforehand because why would I raw dog it like with it in my hand? And when it finally popped up and said, verify your credit card number, I put in the CVV2 on the back of the card because that's normally what you have to do for verification. But no, it was asking for the whole number. So I put in the CVV2 and it gave Rob a fraud notification. And I realized, oh, it was literally asking for all 16 digits over again. That was my shot on Target. So I blew it. That was the one time it went through. So
it's fine. We're not supposed to be shopping at Target anyway.
Yeah,
it's
I fine. Know. Yeah. Well, there's no ethical, basically Best Buy, except I'm sure they do something shady. Anyway.
Yeah.
The rumor was, so I gave up because once Rob, I was mostly the backup for Rob. If Rob didn't get his at Best Buy, I was supposed to get one. That way he could get what he wants because that's always the most important thing. So I saw it was Cheap Ass Gamer on Blue Sky said, Walmart's doing checkouts right now. The cart works in Walmart. And I went, saw that on Blue Sky, said, oh shit. I used the app cause the app is quicker and it went right through, add to cart, credit card, got a receipt.
So it's probably all the people whose credit cards declined.
Yeah, the,
you stole one of their Switch 2s.
The
good
rumor,
job.
Yeah, is a bunch because you know botters are gonna bot. It was a bunch of botters who bought a couple hundred SKUs on Walmart and GameStop, and when those credit card holds failed, they had this flush. They had to flush out those carts, and they had a big rush of inventory. And I guess I snagged one of those, and I told a friend in Chicago. And all he did was click the add to cart once, and it said, this is a high ticket item, so like we're busy right now. And he gave up. And like if you kept doing it, he would have gotten one, but he didn't realize that like he needed to keep trying.
I think he's the only person I know, sadly, that didn't get one that really wanted
one. Yeah. So I said, if you go to Walmart, they got a bunch of like released SKUs that where they flush the cart, and I got one. You can get one, and I wish he knew to just be more diligent and keep adding to cart. Because once I got it in the cart, it let
persistence
me
write in. Persistence is the key.
Yeah. So Jamie says persistence is key.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing the story, yes. Alan, how that happened. Because I wasn't home when that all went down. I heard about this all through text message. So, yeah. Anyway. All right. Thank you for the Alan cameo. We appreciate it. Have fun. All right. So, yeah, that was my Switch 2 experience. So, Loki, you have some kind of like follow-ups to this whole, you know, what was going on
yeah, pre-orders, I mean, right? It's not anything too shocking. So, hey, guess what? People are selling their pre-orders on eBay. That's a thing already. Of course,
people gonna people.
Scalper's gonna scalp.
Well,
so.
Okay, I'm gonna be honest. Until I realized Alan actually wanted to switch two for himself, we did kind of get. We were like, well, if we end up with two, we could always resell one. But I always would have, and I swear, I always would have. If a friend of mine needed it, I would have flipped it for the sticker price. I would have turned sure, it over to yeah, a friend yeah. first. But then, if no friends wanted it, I would have been like, well, maybe I'll be a bitch. We'll see.
Yeah. So. Yeah, so there's that. The other thing too is Nintendo has updated the website about pre-ordering a Switch 2 console, saying that there's very high demand and that they're not guaranteeing that all consoles will be delivered by the June 5th launch date. This is, I think, on the actual Nintendo website with that whole invite process, which I still haven't gotten an email on, so I don't know if that's.
I don't think folks
are
supposed to get that till after. I don't think that's supposed to come till May.
Yeah,
but I mean, there's very. I feel like, again, of the people that really wanted, I see some of you in chat. A few people in chat are like, "I forgot. I didn't realize it was happening." You know, so I see some of that, but for the most part, I feel like the people that were like on it and really want like got it. You know, with very few, so I feel like there's not going to be a ton of people left for that Nintendo wave, but I guess. Maybe that's where the scalpers fuck everything up. Who knows?
Yeah. So, you know, obviously they're just kind of trying to like set the expectations that, hey, there's high demand on this. It's either going to deliver late or there may not have enough. That they're saying that we've received an extremely large number of applications, approximately 2.2 million people in Japan alone. However, this number far exceeds our expectations and far exceeds the number of Switch 2 consoles that can be delivered from the My Nintendo store on June 5th. They said, we expect that a significant number of customers will be selected when the winners are announced tomorrow, which would have been 3 days ago. So I don't know if everybody heard on My Nintendo who's going to get a console or not, but that apparently already happened. We'll see. I don't know. It's hard to say. This always happens, so I'm not surprised. GameStop is accused of forcing customers, to buy bundles. I mean, it wasn't that long ago.
These shenanigans happened before, yeah.
It happens almost every console launch that they are, and I get it, and I get it. It says this is not GameStop policy. Overwhelmingly, customers had a positive experience, according to GameStop. There's a lot of factors here. So one, we don't know what the, like, if it's in store, we don't know what the employees are being incentivized on or what is being said there, because it could be, you know, a whole two-facing. If it's online, we've seen this before. Like, they've done this forced bundle stuff with the Xbox 360 and stuff. Granted, they're not making any sort of margin on these consoles at all, probably losing some money, so it makes sense from a business perspective to do this, but it still sucks. I don't know.
I think there's a lot of people that, even though they don't buy it as a bundle, they buy the, you know, the Mario Kart version, say, and then they're like, okay, you know what? While I'm here, I'm going to get a camera and I'm going to get a pro controller.
And you know what
when it's forced on them, they don't like that.
What I'm not getting is the freaking $85 official Nintendo carrying case for it. $85 for a carrying case?
That's pretty ice.
Like, I get it, the stuff that, you know, has electronics in it, and that being expensive, but something that is essentially fabric.
Yeah.
What am I paying for? Like, it's not that much of a premium item. And
the Steam Deck comes with one, just heads up, and it's a nice, solid carrying case.
And I get it, that $85 carrying case is one that can hold like the actual dock and everything as well. I mean, big deal. They have another one that is half the price, that's still $40. That's still twice as much as the third party cases. So just, you know, I don't get it. $85 seems awfully high. But, you know, they got to make money, I guess.
Yes, they do. So, all right. Well, I'm curious. We'll come back to this later because we put out a question on Blue Sky about how did this go for you. But so we'll get some more stories. And I see some of you in chat as well. I'm sorry I didn't read them all, but thanks for sharing the stories. It sounds like most people, again, that wanted one, that were on top of it, were able to, except, of course, there's just a few people that didn't. So, of course, I feel bad for those folks. But I'm hoping that Nintendo Wave will sort of fill in the rest of the folks that still really want one and even the people that missed the first go around. So that's the hope. So we'll see. But it definitely seems like Nintendo has more product out there than they have with other consoles previously. So it's come a long way from the days of camping out for a Nintendo Wii and Jamie bribing her way to the front of the line with Krispy Kreme and being recognized from the internet.
There's that.
All right.
That'll never happen anymore. Us.
No, not anymore. Recognized. No, it was different in 2006 when like podcasts were still like a very new thing and very few people did them and people thought it was a very cost prohibitive thing. It was very different. You know, no, there was a, I'm sure I've told this story on the show before, or Jamie both. Some guy in line was listening to our show while waiting in line. Yeah. And then Jamie walks up and like, you know, says, oh, I do a podcast. And the guy like, did the guy just recognize your voice? Or I don't remember how that went.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
he's like, oh my God, it's you.
Yeah. That happened to us once. Yeah,
it's me.
Jamie and I were at an arcade together and a person working there recognized us by our voice. But
I got invited to a DDR tournament in Metairie.
Yeah.
When it turned out I was going to be going to Alabama. So I ended up going.
Yeah. Which, that would never happen anymore. Never.
You'd be surprised. It could.
I guess it could. It could.
Yeah. But it would not.
Yeah. No, now, especially locally, once in a blue moon, it will be, why do you look familiar? And I'll be like, have you ever seen a show at the Colonial? Oh! So once in a while. All right.
Hey, Brad.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, I couldn't help it. That's a Rocky. Not pod culture, Brad. It's a Rocky thing.
Let's see. The Gorilla 72 in chat says, I felt bad. I didn't really want one and got one. LOL. Don't feel bad. I mean, like, you know.
Just give it to me.
Yeah, give it to somebody who wants one. Or, you know, if you do have a friend that maybe was really trying for one that couldn't get one, you could really be a lifesaver. But also at the end of the day, maybe you'll get it and you'll be like, I do kind of want one of these, you know. Who knows?
You could be a hero.
Dijarama S says, Rob, don't forget that one time at Katsucon where that vendor said, you're Rob Roberts from Orange Islands Radio. Yeah, it happens once in a while. Like, random. It's random.
John's Incredible Pizza?
That was the one I was talking about. Yeah, when we were at the pizza place. Yeah. So.
But that happened while we were doing it in line.
Yeah.
That was the thing.
I think you and I were bickering in line. When I say bickering, I mean like Rose and Blanche on the Golden Girls, not like actual bickering.
it's like sibling stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, we're going to get into our gaming week and talk about how was your gaming week and the types of games that you've been playing this week. But as we're getting into that segment, I see Dijarama S is in chat now. He sent me something that he says has to be opened on air. And all I can tell you is that this box was fucking heavy. And I had no idea. I mean, Rama texted me this week saying, hey, I sent you something. If he hadn't sent me that text, I would have never known this came from Rama because the address was in Georgia. So I was like, is this a Bobby thing? But this isn't where Bobby lives. But then I put it together and I was like, oh, this must be what Rama said he was sending. So I don't know what this is. I'm going to open this and see what the hell this is while Jamie's talking so that we don't have dead air. So I have the box. I've already scissored the box open. I just haven't opened the
Rob.
Not that kind. Wow. I have not opened the flaps to dig into the box.
All right. Well, so I'll talk about my gaming week. I played some of the Blood Moon event for Dead by Daylight, and I guess I'm gonna try to finish the tome.
Hold
we'll see. I haven't really been super hyper about like wanting to play it lately, but I've done Palia. I have a third property and I am trying to do more of the decorating glitches. I've learned quite a bit about doing those glitches too, so I think it'll work out really nicely.
Oh my god.
And then I've also been playing Mass Effect. I enjoyed that. I did not play any Monster Hunter Wilds this week. I just didn't feel like it. I didn't want to deal with the confusing controls. But other than that, I'm still doing... I beat my score again in Fruit Mountain. This time I hit over 8,000 points. Which, I mean, for me, kind of a hard thing. But yeah, that's about what I've been playing and doing. Just those things. They are fun and I know what I like and those are what I like. I did though pick up Resident Evil 4 remake for Steam because it's on sale right now. It's like 50% off.
Love it.
So
I'm freaking out a little bit at what's in this box. So you ready to see what's in the box? I'm gonna show you the first thing I saw as I was opening the box. You ready?
Uh-oh.
Do you know what this is? Do you know what GEOS is? It is the graphic environment operating system for the Commodore 64. And do you remember how I said this box is very heavy?
Yeah. Did he get you a Commodore 64?
Oh my god. Sorry for the silence, folks.
Is it really neat?
But I'm unwrapping. This is a yellowed, grotesque, I'm assuming still working, Commodore 60 fucking 4. That is incredible.
That's a thing.
Don't spend your money on this kind of stuff for me. Thank you. This is wild. Because, yeah, I've mentioned on the show before, I would love to dig up the old Commodore 64 that my parents owned. But I'm going to guess that it wouldn't work anymore. But I'm going to guess this one might be a little different, that it actually does still work. This is wild. Oh, my God. And I'm assuming, what else is in here? Are there... I don't know. There's assorted software in here. Oh, Rama says my friend was going to toss it. That's... Okay, so you didn't have to pay a lot of money, hopefully. My goodness. Well, thank you. This is incredible. What's in this other? Is this like disk drives?
Well.
Yeah, I'm not going to pull it out of the box because that's the heavy part. It's a fucking Commodore 64 disk drive in there. So, yeah, I'm not going to pull everything out of the box because I want to be able to like set this later without messing up the floor of my room. But this is incredible. And there's assorted software in here, too. So this is... This is incredible because if I can find discs, I don't know if you can find 5 1/4 disc, maybe have to order them online or something, but I should be able to like write.
You can find them.
Yeah. Write Commodore 64 software to it or something. That's incredible. Rama, thank you so much.
AliExpress or something. I bet you that Amazon has some still somewhere.
Well, also, don't they make like ultra thin drives?
They probably do. Yeah. There's probably like other types of peripherals now for sure. I think Bobby stays up on that a little more than I do, so I'll have to see, but I'm sure online
I can look at some of my resources.
Enthusiast community for sure. Now I just have to figure out where I'm going to set this up or what CRT TV. But I'll figure it out. There's converters.
I remember playing a lot of Millipede on that at my she's technically my step aunt, but I called her my cousin.
Yeah.
But we played a lot of Millipede. A lot.
I see her comment in chat, Dark Sakura. It was my birthday, but Rob got the presents. To be fair,
I was teasing.
I know you're teasing. But to be fair, everybody knows what a hardcore Commodore 64 enthusiast I was. And that's wild. You know what's actually, Rama, I have not seen. Alan, have you overheard what was in this box? Isn't that wild? Yeah. So I have not seen one of the original 64s in a long time. Ours broke. And so we actually had a 64C. There was like a white reprinting of them. Think like a PlayStation Pro or something. There was a white reprinting of them that looked very different. That was the one that we had more often. I haven't seen an original Commodore 64 like in a very long time. So that's wild. Thank you, Rama. Thank you. I really do appreciate that. I sent him a picture earlier this week of Cheddar sitting on top of the box going, Cheddar wants whatever's in here. Is it chicken?
Funny.
All right. They can have the box. Cheddar and Oreo can have the box. All right. Let's get into other gaming weeks. I'm sorry for the disruption, but also not sorry. Loki, how was your gaming week?
I mainly just played Minecraft. It was a lot of, it was busy, but not like doing things. I had to, we updated our server to 121.5. And so that was a major pain in the ass last night because it just didn't want to. It's still not functioning quite right. It keeps resetting chunks and stuff, which is annoying. But I think we got it all worked out now. And then outside of that, I've been just mainly prepping my brand new retro emulation handheld. I don't know if you can see it, but it's a little device that runs Android and has cool Hall Effects analog sticks, and you know, basically set up like a, you know, modern controller, and this thing will run everything up to the Switch.
Wow.
It can do Switch emulation. That's how underpowered the Switch is, that this little Android device can also emulate Switch games. So I have been working on getting together a ROM set for all of that stuff. It's been fun. Oh, but here's the best part, and here's the goal, the thing that I would love to be able to accomplish. So I saw a video online of somebody running on a GPD-2, which I think is a really underpowered, I think it's Intel Atom or something like that. It's a little PC, micro PC thing. It was running Final Fantasy XI. Now, wow. It was running it connected to a private server that was also running on that device. So I'm like, if that thing can do that, then I can get that thing to do that. In fact, actually, they do have PC emulators that can run on that, that are capable of running the PC version of Grand Theft Auto 5. So if it can run Grand Theft Auto 5, it should be able to handle Final Fantasy 11. At least that's my thought process here. I would love to put actually Grand Theft Auto 4 on there if I could, but I'm ready to see what I can do with this thing, like how I can max this out. And I've got a 1 terabyte card that's going to go into it, so it's a lot of room for things.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see.
That's it.
My gaming week. I was talking about the mobile games already. I already talked a little bit about Elder Scrolls 4 Remastered. I did play a little bit of that. And definitely want to do a little more, although I got to get to the other new stuff that came out last week. One of the other things I've been playing quite a bit of is Final Fantasy 14. I know, what a shock, but there was a new patch that came out last week. It was a mini patch, but it was for a feature that they had announced for this expansion that I was really looking forward to. It's called Cosmic Exploration. And when they first announced it, I thought it was going to be similar to Island Sanctuary, which was in last expansion's content, which I really enjoyed. And I was really excited. I was like, oh, they're going to let us like build and terraform like a planet now. No, it actually didn't turn out like that. It's a little more, from the game's perspective, if you play the game, it's a little more like Foundation Ishgard crafting. They kind of did that, but it's mixed with the guild levs. Now, for those that don't play the game, that I'm like speaking in tongues right now, basically what it is it's a crafty. So people don't really talk about it in Final Fantasy 14, but the crafting and gathering is its own little metagame in that game. And like, they're pretty fleshed out, like crafting systems and things that, you know, really encourage people to level up those classes as they would playing a black mage or a white mage or something like that. So this mode is really geared towards that, to give the people that really enjoy the crafting and gathering something to kind of pour themselves into, as there is like a server-based competition to build things for the moon. That's a throwback to like the fucking, what was that old school WoW thing that everybody had to turn in the wool to open up the tomb of Anubarak? Was that it or something? It was one of those,
I think so.
One of those early things, like the raid, you know, everybody on the server had to raid. It's kind of like that. You're building across servers, the different things contributing to it. But the guild lev system was something that was in the original game that they kind of went away from. Guild levs are basically dailies that you can do over and over again up to a max of a certain amount, and they kind of rotate and refresh to look a little bit, you know, different and kind of keep the they kind of went away from that because the rewards aren't very good unless you're crafting gathering. You actually get really good rewards, but they get a little stale. But they kind of took a similar system and put that into this so that it's not like you're doing the same type of crafting over and over. It's different from Foundation because you don't have to go get the materials, then craft them. You actually are given them and you have to kind of craft everything. It's kind of interesting. I don't want to bore those of you that don't play the game. They also put crafting fates into it, which I thought was really kind of clever. You don't actually like furiously craft things, but you sort of have a different mechanic that you use. So it's neat. So yeah, it just goes to show there's more in the game than just the battle stuff. And I think it's kind of neat that they put this whole different mode in it. That all being said, I don't know if there's a lot of longevity in this, but if you're into crafting and gathering, there is a bit of a grind for a really good, like if you're a miner like I am and you want to get like the best pickaxe in the game, the relic pickaxe, or you could grind in this mode and you'll get it. So the rewards are worth it. But it's just going to be very grindy. They do have roulette wheels that give you some pretty cool prizes though. Like some orchestrations from, a lot of the songs people really wanted from the last expansion, like a new mount and a couple new pets, you know, cute things like that, that people always love to collect. And they finally came out with some new dye colors, that are also in this. So, you know, little reason for people to keep going, but that made up the bulk of my gaming week. I did play some games with friends. I was playing, you know, a little bit of Tetris because I can always, I also play Grandmaster 4 this week. I always forget. I play that on my Steam Deck. That's probably the most played game on my Steam Deck right now. I played F-Zero GX recently. I played it in an emulator and it looked better, but then my friend also got his old GameCube and hooked it up and we were playing F-Zero GX and that was really cool. So, oh, Jamie, do you know what I played this week on a PlayStation? I played Rival Schools.
What?
Yeah, I thought you'd get a kick out of that. Nice. Yeah. All right, that's it. That's it for my gaming week. We can move on and get into some gaming news and what else is going on in the gaming world. Loki, we will start with you.
Funny enough, I was just talking about my retro game handheld I have. So I got a Retroid Pocket Flip 2. One of the other major players in the retro emulation space is Ambernic. And Ambernic actually has just announced that they are going to stop all U.S. shipments over tariffs, which makes sense because there's a ridiculous percentage of tariffs for products coming from China. And essentially that it's going to make it not affordable for them to actually import it. So we strongly recommend prioritizing products shipped from our U.S. warehouse. So they still have product in the United States. So that, you know, people can buy without tariffs, but anything beyond that, you know, once they sell through that, it's going to, they're not going to be shipping anymore back to the United States, until the whole tariff situation goes away, which could be a few years from now. So that's unfortunate, but it is something, you know, that there's a lot, it does affect everything. And even though, like, there's been craziness right now, we're not going to see the effect of all of this until 2 months from now, when basically that's how long it's going to take for those boats to normally get across the ocean. I mean, we're going to see a massive impact with that, like store shelves being bare and, you know, prices going up and all that type of stuff. So it's, well, the worst is yet to come
for a lot over here.
Right.
And the ridiculous Congress we'll could end this tomorrow.
They could. Yep. So,
yeah, I know.
It's unfortunate.
It's one thing to be talking about video games, but I think there's a lot of things people are looking for, you know, a lot of household items and household electronics that people are going to be a little bit shocked or are going to suddenly disappear. And they're going to be like, how did this happen?
Yeah, I mean, and that's why these devices, piracy aside, are great, because essentially it's kind of an all-in-one type thing, and it's somewhat affordable to be able to emulate your systems. Plus, you can get, I mean, like I said, this one right here, which was, you know, about $200, can emulate essentially the Switch and PC games and stuff. I mean, I think people are going to start, you know, especially if we start seeing games going up in price like that. I mean, yeah, the Switch 2 right now, who knows how long it'll take to crack, but it's not going to be impossible. And, you know, it, you know, if prices keep going up and things become more and more unaffordable, people are going to go that route. And then on top of that, you look at, like, you know, other games. Like, I understand that Oblivion, you know, being remastered, re-released or whatever again, it still wasn't a $70 game. It could have been, but they charged, you know, $49.99 for it. Clair Obscura, same thing. You know, that wasn't a full price game either, and it's excellent. So, like, there's other options. You know, eventually, when there's a bunch of games coming out for $80, $90, and those games come out unfinished, or they're just not that great, bad writing, whoever, whatever the case may be, everyone's going to start going back towards indie again, where the prices are reasonable, and, you know, hopefully the market then settles back down, but I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you that the bubble's good. Like, we're going to see another video game crash, but not in the same way that it crashed in 84. It's going to crash for the AAAs, but not for... Excuse me, I should say it's going to crash for the quadruple A's, except for Nintendo. Nintendo will always be immune to this behavior. But I think a lot of these big budget games are, you know, they're not going to sell to the extent that, you know, and I'm even curious, you know, yeah, sure. The Switch 2's, you know, kind of sold through and sold out real quick, but how many was that at the end of the day? I'm sitting here giving Nintendo a lot of credit going, well, they must've had more to go through and they got it right. Well, or was there maybe actually less people going for it? It doesn't feel like it based on social media, but I also follow a lot of gamers on social media. So yeah. I don't know. It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell. All right. Well, Loki brought up Oblivion Remastered, and of course, so did I. We've been talking about it. You know, I don't have to sit here and tell you that, surprise, it came out this week. But let's talk a little bit about the release. So the Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion was remastered. They Bethesda brought in an external developer, Virtuos, that worked on this. You know, obviously there were the leaks and the website stuff and all that stuff, but, you know, whatever, it happened. The game did release on PC via Steam, but also the Xbox app, if you want to get it that way. It released on Xbox Series S and X, and it is on the PlayStation 5. So, you know, Microsoft putting this out on Sony platforms, even though Elder Scrolls is a Microsoft product now because of Microsoft's ownership of Bethesda. Oblivion Remastered is also on Game Pass, and that was admittedly why I jumped right into it. The game will include the Knights of the Nine and the Shivering Isles expansion. There are extras that are available if you do want to pick that up. And yes, Horse Armor DLC is one of those things that you can buy, which is sort of a parody of itself, because if you think about it, horse armor is a big part of the reason why gaming is the way it is now. And I say that because Elder Scrolls Oblivion 4 was a early game, I think a release game actually, on the Xbox 360.
It's close to release. It came out like
within a month.
Few months later. Yeah. Like April of 2006, I think.
But all that aside, it also was the first like DLC that came out available on the store that was a silly cosmetic, essentially, was this horse armor. It didn't do jack shit for the game. It just lets your horse wear a nice shining piece of armor. And here we are.
Horse armor did exist.
Yeah, there was, but this was special horse armor. It was horse armor like no other. And now this is almost standard for almost any AAA game that comes out, has some type of horse armor, whether that's, you know, transmog for your main character or something special, you know, in the game that's cosmetic. This is a very standard sort of thing now that you see in every game. So, you know, it's not really a huge surprise to see that horse armor has also made its way to the Elder Scrolls Oblivion Remastered. I don't know. I did not see, however, how much the horse armor cost. Do we know that yet?
I thought that was included with the DLC because it came with all the DLC.
I think it was, if you got like a deluxe edition of the game, you could get that.
I thought that the extra, so I think it still does come with all of the DLC, but there's additional like skins or like additional horse armor skins for, and player skins for They are also available, I think, if I remember correctly. Let's see here.
So I'm looking at the Steam page, and there is a digital deluxe edition or the regular remastered. And I don't see any other DLC. I just see a $10 deluxe upgrade. The deluxe upgrade includes Armor of Order and Armor of Cataclysm, Weapons of Order and Weapons of Cataclysm, and Horse Armor in the Order and Cataclysm variations. And the Order one looks very similar to the classic horse armor from the originals.
It's new though. It's not the same.
No, it is not the same. You're right. It is not the same. It's new so horse it's armor.
Completely. Yeah, they're doing it again. They're selling you horse armor again. Damn it, Todd Howard. Damn it.
So well, you know, y'all could always just not buy it.
Or here's something. You know, like even though they don't support modding, supports mods. You don't need to buy horse armor.
It
you
does can literally support mods.
Get horse armor for free.
It does. And I think I know Alan will be jumping on that as soon as they release mods for the good stuff, you know, like nude mods and no.
I mean
he likes UI and mods. He likes UI mods.
That's what I'm saying. Like even though like they'll offer you free horse armor and they'll make your horse's ass fatter. So like it's it is you know, the modding community will give you a lot more than Bethesda will.
Somebody if it's not already out, can we get a fat fucking ass mod for the game, which makes everybody's ass fatter, but also the horses, the rats, that everybody's ass just like gets fatter.
Everything.
Every ass is bigger.
Juicy ass mod.
It's thick.
The thick mod is called six. Yeah, THICC.
Thick mode. Thickums mode. I love that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Dark Soccer, why don't you tell us about another game that maybe we want thick asses in?
Are you sure?
Maybe.
It's Sonic. Sonic and Shadow Generations is coming to Switch 2. They have just announced this. Well, actually, they announced it much earlier in the month. But it's already on the Switch right now, but they really want to, you know, have this one to come forward on the new system. That's also Yakuza 0 Director's Cut, Raido Remastered, Puyo Tetris 2S, and Two Point Museum as well. Those are also included on the list. But the big one is Shadow and Sonic. So there you go.
Nice. Just add that. It's good to see that the Switch 2 has a very robust launch lineup and launch window, I guess, if you will, of games. You know, it's got a fat ass of games coming out for it. Except, you know, I'm sure Loki, surely you've heard that almost it sounds like a good chunk of those third party games are on those digital unlock cards where the game isn't even on the card. It's just the digital unlock. Not apparently first party is pretty much all on cartridges, but third parties, like almost all of them are digital unlock cards, which I'm sure you're thrilled to hear.
Yeah, of course, because you know, when the servers go down, that's going to be so wonderful that they're going to have that available that it just won't. Sure. You'll be able to play it and sure you can resell it to your friends or whatever the case may be, but it's, you're still storing it on a server that will eventually go down.
I think you're right, and it's a valid argument to make. However, I think it's also realistic, and I'm not saying I endorse this. I just accept the reality of what happens in this industry. The reality is, and I know a lot of people are telling me, well, the Switch 2, they're not going to be able to hack the same way they did the Switch. The Switch 2 is very unhackable. Y'all, anytime a console is unhackable, that just raises the bar. It's going to take them time, but there will come a time, there will come a day where people hack that thing open so that you can sideload content in there, and people will figure out how to rip that download stuff from the store and be able to sideload it on the Switch too. They won't figure it out in the first day, and certainly if you don't want Nintendo to sue your ass, your fat ass, then you don't want to do that within the first, you know, pretty much during the life of the Switch too, essentially. But it's going to happen. And so that's how these games will ultimately get preserved. And it is really fucking weird that I'm saying we're relying on the modding and the piracy community to help us preserve games. But that is exactly what I'm saying in a weird sort of way. And I think it will get there. It's just going to take a little time. So because again, and you shouldn't be sideloading games the first day. That's just straight up piracy. And that doesn't support, you know, the people that make the games and all that
stuff.
There's
also not that many Switch 2 games that you could be sideloading or pirating anyways day one. So, like, that's got to wait for a few years. Yeah. there's something to download yet.
Rinmari68k in chat says, I mean, let's be real. Corporations don't care about game preservation. That's up to the community. For the most part, yes. There are some companies that I feel like have gone a little ways to try to make this better. I feel like Microsoft's actually one of the better ones, which is weird because that wasn't always their MO, you know, when they got rid of the backwards compatibility for Xbox 360 and Xbox One. But then they really made an effort to go back and do a lot of that. And I feel like also, ironically, they own Blizzard now, and Blizzard's been very good at preserving their catalog. Like, they remaster it, but they also have it in a way that you can preserve it. They let good old games have Diablo, you know, which is also a big preservation thing. So I do feel like there are some companies that recognize. I think it also helps that Phil Spencer's gone on record saying he recognizes the importance of it. But I do agree, for the most part, most corporations don't give a shit. Or they want to be able to continue to sell it to you for some time, which in a way, I mean, again, looking at Microsoft Bethesda, that's kind of what Elder Scrolls Oblivion Remastered is. It's a way to sell you a 20-year-old game all over again. But of course, I say sell because Game Pass is a big draw for that. I feel like this game's getting a lot of traction off Game Pass, but there's a lot of people playing it on PlayStation 5 as well. So I don't know. But the good news is, I will say this, the good news is, if you want to get the original Oblivion, you still can. It is being sold in tandem with the remaster. You can still get the OG 2006 Oblivion, which is cool. But at this point, honestly, unless you really are looking for the Mr. Potato Head faces, like the remastered is all the same bugs you remember. they didn't fix that. So,
and I do kind of like that. I mean, I get it.
We've all gaslit ourselves into accepting bugs now. It's because
I like buggy games in the sense that it makes it so that I can exploit them, and that's what makes it fun for me.
You always have,
and that's one of the things I used to like.
You were the one person that was like, Driver 3 is awesome. But not for the reasons you think.
It was so, like, here's how I play. My only memories of Oblivion, I didn't play much of Oblivion when it came out on console, even though it was, yeah, like on Xbox 360 and stuff like that. And I remember playing it day one and all that. But, like, here's how I play, because I didn't understand what I was supposed to do in the game. So I ended up joining, like, the Thieves Guild, and then once you're in there, like, all the items that are on the shelves aren't, you know, stolen anymore, so you could just take it all. And so that's what I do. I'd go into someone's house, and I'd just take all the stuff, and I'd take it to the store and go sell it. And then there was, like, I think a dupe glitch at the time to, like, duplicate armor and everything, and I would do that nonsense over and over again, because that was fun for me. And I don't think I ever went into any of the Oblivion gates or do any of that stuff. I don't remember any of that. So I guess that's I'll get to play this game legit the first time, you know?
That, I think for some people, is the entire charm of Elder Scrolls. It's also, for other people, the biggest turnoff of Elder Scrolls is that you do have that ability to literally do anything in the open world, and you can just fuck off the main game. You can just say, I don't want to play the main game. I just want to murder people and try to get away with it. And
yeah, that was great about Skyrim. And I'm sure it's the same with Oblivion, where there's the main quest line. And then there's, like, all these other stories that are in there as well. And all these other side quests. And with Skyrim, it was literally everywhere. Everywhere had, like, a thing to do, a quest to do, or something that was going on, which made it really engaging and fun.
And why the Elder Scrolls 6 is taking fucking forever, because they've set such a bar for themselves when it comes to this wide open world. And I really hope to hell they don't use generative AI to try to fill in the gaps, especially with quest. I sort of trust the Elder Scrolls to know that people are going to see right through that and are going to, you know, and it's been taking them this long. So you hope a lot of it has been cooked up and they're not going to rely on AI, generative AI anyway, to come up with quests and books and things like that. Because you know,
they have Radiant quests, which were lame. Yeah. I remember that, where it's like, go to this place and get this thing. And it was just that over and over.
Yeah. So we'll see. But it's interesting to see how this is all new again. All right. Anyway, where were we? Loki, let's go back to your next story.
All right. Sorry, I've been distracted. The cats over here.
Great reason to be distracted.
Skate 4. I don't know why this is a shock, but or the Skate reboot, whatever we're going to call it, Skate, I guess, is coming out, I think, later this year, actually. And it's going to be online only. Why is that? Because it's a live service game. So, duh. It is, you know, there is not going to be an offline version of the game, EA said. The game and City are designed to be a living, breathing, massively multiplayer skateboarding sandbox. And that is always online and always evolving and always full of microtransactions. I'm sorry, that was mine. A bit added there. Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, once I heard it was a live service game, I was like, yeah, of course. Of course it is. So,
well, this is somewhat a dangerous stance for companies to take now with what's going on with Ubisoft and the crew.
It can't function offline. It's SimCity. The online is integral to its functionality. It cannot work offline.
Man, I wish we would get a new SimCity game that, like, to, like, just erase the taste from our mouths of that last, what happened with the last one.
I'm going to attempt to list this kitty up here. She does not like being
held. Is this the kitty that roams from house to house?
It's our kitty, basically, now.
Aww. All right.
There she is. Baby. Hi, Penny.
Oh, no, the camera's kind of glitching a little bit, but we can get a sense. Baby. We can get a sense. Your green screen is just thinking that parts of the cat are green, but that's all right.
Oh, yeah.
She's pretty kitty.
Okay. All right, bye, kitty.
Aw.
The baby!
Please clip the cat sighting. Thank you. All right. Let's move on. I find this very interesting. It's also not surprising whatsoever. It has to do with video game journalism online, people's favorite topics, right? Apparently, this is a story, to be fair, that I got off Reddit on a website called thegamebusiness.com that's running this report. Not a website I'm super familiar with. It's not like, was it gameindustry.biz or, you know, one of those big sites. But I, just in my own consumption of journalism online, and I think a lot of your own ways that you consume gaming media, I think you can see how a story like this makes a lot of sense. Okay. So apparently, based on data from the Press Engine, the top 135 video game websites published over 635,000 articles. So when we're talking about major outlets, we mean IGN, GameSpot, Famitsu, Eurogamer, 635,000 articles. That's actually a drop of 13%, 100,000 articles less than the same period, quarter one in 2024. And that's even with, you know, the Switch 2 announcement. Although I guess, no, that wasn't until quarter two, so maybe we can't count that. But still, you know, you would still expect there'd be a lot. This means reviews, news, guides, features, codes, and all of that different stuff. Press Engine, what this is a PR tool that if you're a developer, if you're a publisher, you use this to send out game codes and press releases to journalists and content creators through this Press Engine. But apparently in the Press Engine, they've actually seen the number of press contacts, nearly 3,000 of them, about 2,900, disappear from the database over 2 years. And I don't think any of us are surprised to hear this because we hear about sites that are laying people off or they close and all this. This doesn't just include amateur, freelance, part-timers. It just means that generally there are less people online writing about video games. And it also means that more people are just covering the biggest titles. Some of it is because, you know, we get a lot of guides now, I'm sure, is what we see online with all that. So the industry's perspective on this is that the games media is apparently scaling back coverage of games outside the big AAA games. And this is very harmful to indie games, smaller games, other games trying to make a name for themselves. In a quote from Gareth Williams, the founder of the Press Engine, this drop in articles marries with reducing and converging audiences within specialist media, which in turn has led to frantic competition for high-ranking performative content, the biggest games with little room for AA or indie titles. An unintended outcome is that it's never been harder for indie or any game to secure coverage. And it's interesting, I think, because we live in this era of, you know, a lot of Twitch influence, YouTube influence, TikTok influence, because that's one thing I'm realizing with this Oblivion remaster. I'm seeing a lot of content for Oblivion remaster on TikTok. Now, granted, I've probably fallen into that algorithm now because I've watched enough of it, but I'm seeing these things. It's like find the strongest helmet in the game as soon as you come out of the dungeon. And so he's going, you just go to this point on your map, da 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 da. Or it'll be people showing bugs. I can't tell you. I've seen at least 5 videos where people are like, here's the bug in 2006. Here's the bug in 2025. And it's like the same thing. And it's a lot of that on TikTok. And I also feel like short form social media, meaning things like X for people for whatever reason that still choose to use that, and Blue Sky and Mastodon, that short form social media has really stepped in for a lot of this. Like, just curious out there, a little informal poll in chat. How many of you were getting your Switch 2 pre-order information from a Wario64, from a cheap ass gamer, from a, you know, from a social media person that you try? How many of you were getting your stuff from that? I bet an awful lot of you were getting that stuff from social media. Because that is now, and it's interesting because the thing with social media is because you're limited to only what, 300 characters on Blue Sky, and it's similar on Mastodon and the others, because it's similar. These social media posts have to get to the fucking point. And that's been a big frustration with a lot of other types of gaming journalism. We all know on YouTube, they never get to the fucking point, right? You got to watch 5 minutes of bullshit to get this. And then, you know, words escape me at this moment. Sometimes even like articles and stuff, you know, the clickbait headline, you'll never believe what game just fucking got delisted. Or and then it talks, here's how the Xbox store works. Here's now. Da, 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 and then finally there'll be like a throwaway. And it's like this game that none of you have ever heard of that is being talked about. It's wild. Rin Mari is pointing out that Mastodon will depend on the server. Some allow up to 3,000 characters. Tiger Class says social media is where most get the latest news. Most of the time on social media, it's usually coming from somebody who works for a gaming website. E3VL says, I just Googled the release time. Dark Tetsuya said, both them and the Switch-centric blogs I follow on Blue Sky. Yep. Pod Culture says, I got my info from y'all. Well, that's sweet. Thank you. I guess I have to remember there are a few of you out there who really do get your little gaming dose here on this show. And we appreciate that and hope you were able to get a Switch if you wanted one. So Ren Mari says, I just follow one particular person who covers a ton of Japanese games. Well, that also makes sense. If there's somebody that's really into a genre or a type, like especially I would imagine like fighting games. If you want to see every like fighting game character that's going to be released or every, you know, that really like hyper focuses on that genre, every costume, ever, there's probably some social media accounts that really do that a lot better than maybe the more general ones where a lot of other noise gets in there. That's another kind of perk about short form social media, wherever you're consuming it, is that you get a lot of people that are very tailored to your interests. Sorry, I'm giggling because live here on Twitch, Loki is out feeding the cats or something. And the way the green screen works, once in a while, he just fuses into the Oblivion scene and I'm getting Nick Arcade flashbacks. Anyway, it's just kind of funny. All right. Rin Mari says, because even when sites like IGN do cover my usual niches, it's obviously often with a ton of ignorance. I don't necessarily disagree, but I do feel like a lot of sites are getting better. I think a lot of sites realize they've been called out on this over the years and have tried to get more in tune with people. And this is why hiring diverse journalists is very helpful, because you get a lot of diverse tastes, diverse perspectives. And why I think more websites out there are succeeding in this department. Not always, and I'm sure you can cite some examples where they are not getting it right, but I do feel like overall, I see a lot of gaming blogs and places are being a little more accurate and faithful in tune with what the fans want in certain genres, at least, again, compared to, say, 2006 or whatever. So, But anyway, I found that story very interesting, and it's definitely showing a way that things are changing online. You know, just on a quick tangent relating things to the real world, again on TikTok, you know that guy, I'm sure you've all seen him on your TikTok feed at some point, if you use TikTok, I'm sure you've seen him on your feed at some point, that Aaron Parnas, who comes through, we have breaking news, we have news on the Trump terrorists, da-da-da-da. He's this young guy, he's like 25 years old, and he's really mastered working that TikTok algorithm where there are legitimately a ton of people that are getting news from him And people like him, because there's, you know, now a lot of people are knocking that off. There's a lot of people getting their new, or, and he's probably not the first to do it, to be fair, but he is the one that has been the most prolific out there on TikTok. There are people that get their news from him versus traditional media, versus USA Today or the New York Times, versus even CNN or Fox News or MSNBC. It's kind of unlocking this whole other way that people consume news, which I just think that stuff is very fascinating. So anyway, but there's always time for a movie. So we'll go to our next story. Dark Sakura.
So, we are looking at a Michael Bay movie. I don't know how I feel about that.
Another one.
Sydney Sweeney and Michael Bay are going to be doing an Outrun video game. It is a video game. Outrun movie. They are producing it, basically going through just a driving fun time in Outrun. They're saying it's going to be going through Universal. The screenplay is being written by Jason Rothwell, who did Polar and Arachnid. I don't know how I feel about that either. But yeah. We'll see if it actually happens or if it'll be any good.
I don't have my hopes up very high, but then again, video game media in general has been surprisingly good the last few years. Again, you say Michael Bay and I go, but maybe it'll have some really good special effects. Maybe they want to get that Fast and the Furious audience, although that's also a Universal product. So I don't know. Maybe this is something they want to put out in the off years. I don't know. It's just such a weird property to come back, but at the same time, it can be fun, right? I think an Outrun movie can be fun.
It's Universal. It's Michael Bay. I mean, it's essentially they're making Fast and the Furious again, which is different.
But with a Ferrari.
I agree that
it better be a Ferrari.
Off year for Fast and the Furious. And they've made so many of those movies. So many. How many Fast and Furious movies are there? Aren't there like 12 at least?
50,000.
It's over 10. I know that.
Oh my God. Wild, wild, wild. Okay.
If they get any more Fast or Furious, they'll be in another dimension.
All right. Let's move on and talk about this story, Loki.
All right. Anyways, we've got. Why is my screen not coming up? Ubisoft, they are data harvesting now. Because, I mean, why not? Just throw it on top of the pile of all the bad things that they do. So they've been fined €79 million. And essentially that they found that they are doing some hidden data harvesting. There is basically the complaint centers on Far Cry Primal and Assassin's Creed Shadows, which required an internet connection despite being offline experiences. And the lawsuit is alleging that Ubisoft is using this to siphon off players' gaming habits. One user noted that Far Cry Primal noticed the game pinged external servers, including those of Amazon and Google, 150 times in 10 minutes. I'm not really sure what I thought it was for authentication, but who knows? Interesting to see what comes out of this. If that's the case, that they actually find. I mean, obviously they're facing a fine of $79 million. I don't think it's been actually determined whether or not they're at fault yet. But
right,
I don't know. It's weird that they would be stealing data or something like, I mean, it's not weird that they'd be doing that, but I thought that these servers were mainly for authentication, which is ridiculous. It's like an anti-piracy thing, essentially, or to incorporate like Ubisoft Plus or whatever the hell that they had and their like club thing, Ubisoft Club or something. I don't know. We'll see. I would not be surprised if it comes out that they're stealing people's data too. Why not? I mean, because they're a terrible company.
Yeah, and like, or... you know, that I think sometimes maybe the intentions weren't necessarily dubious, but there's a lot of ignorance that comes to, well, let's just, you know, run this thing and maybe this will be useful at some point. And they don't really think about like what, how that could be perceived by the people playing the games. And I think maybe it's going to be interesting, but you know, especially overseas, they have some really strict privacy regulations. You really have to be thoughtful about what you're collecting, or this stuff can come back to bite you. That's for sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. All right. Just a comment in chat from somebody who's new, first time chatter. Hello, hello. Welcome. Thanks for being here. FOMO's a mofo. I like that name, actually.
I love it.
FOMO's a mofo. That's true. Saying maybe the movie will open the door. Talking about Outrun. Maybe the movie will open the door for a remaster of Outrun 2006 Coast to Coast. We need a remaster of that.
That game is pretty cool.
Well, FOMO, yes. 2006 remasters are all the rage this week. So nothing's off the table. Nothing's off the table. All right. Speaking of redos of old games, let me talk about this, because this was a pleasant surprise to me. I was very surprised in a good way to hear that the Evercade Versus will now run Namco carts, the Museum Collections 1 and 2, which I happen to own both of those. Do you remember on this show I came on a few months ago when I first got my Evercade? It was after last Christmas. Last Christmas, I got an Evercade. And I tried to play those cartridges, and it said, womp womp, these cartridges are licensed for handheld use only. Like, I couldn't play them on my Versus. And I was like, that's a bunch of bullshit. Blah, 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 blah. Apparently, that situation has been rectified. And I thought something was weird because, as you may or may not know, I picked up this Evercade Versus. I'm sorry, this Evercade arcade machine that sits behind me. My big head covers it when we tape. But I have a Mega Man branded machine because it has some Capcom titles, including Strider, Final Fight, and the two Mega Man fighting games are built into that Evercade machine. And you can see there are two cartridges, those little white lines behind me on Twitch. Those little white lines are actually the Namco 1 and 2 Evercade cartridges. And they're in the machine. I thought it would be funny to put Namco games in a Capcom cabinet. And now I truly am living the Namco cross Capcom dream. But little machine played them fine. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I guess that machine counts as a handheld. Or they have worked out these rights issues. So yeah, a post in the official Evercade group on Facebook said, obviously, the Namco carts worked on the Evercade Versus, but apparently on April 16th, there was some update that happened, and now Evercade replied and said, all cartridges are now compatible. Please check our website for any frequently asked questions. So that's great. I'm surprised they're not making a bigger deal out of that, but I don't know if those cartridges are easy to find. I feel like those cartridges might be out of print. I think that was part of the reason I was jumping on getting them, was that they were going to stop printing those cartridges. But yay, I'm glad they work now. By the way, I have other news on the Evercade front, though, if you don't have one yet. Guess what? U.S. orders are being paused. Anyone want to guess why?
Who could have guessed why? Is it tariffs?
That's right. Ding, ding, ding. Is it the tariffs? It sure is. So Evercade is now pausing their shipments to the U.S. Apparently, Evercade has said, because Evercade is a UK company, they are, quote, taking a cautious approach to the situation by, quote, temporarily stopping any new orders and pre-orders for US customers. Until we know more, we do not want to put customers at risk of unexpected charges. And that's in a statement from Funstock. As soon as the situation is clearer, we'll release a statement on our shipping policies going forward. This pause in service will be effective from Monday, the 28th of April, and means that customers in the U.S. will not be able to make new orders on our website. I'm going to guess that they're going to pass off any tariff costs directly to the consumer as an additional tax, which you think that would piss me off, but it's not Evercade's fault. Y'all know whose fault it is. Congress could end this tomorrow. But they won't. Yeah, I like the way Rin Mari in chat puts that. Doofus J tariffs. That's right. Doofus J tariffs. All right. Let's go to a non-doofy part of the show. It's a chance for Dark Sakura to take a trip down memory lane. Let's roll the bump. We'll be right back.
Now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
And Dark Sakura with a really cool niche pick tonight. I love your choice tonight, Dark Sakura. What'd you pick for us?
It's not even really what I would call a game.
But it works. It works.
It's for Nintendo DS. It's the Korg DS10 synthesizer. And I kind of got a little inspired watching it because I was watching this guy. Oh God, I always mix his name. David Horowitz. Who puts out like interesting instrument samplers, VST units for computer DAWs, like Logic Pro. What's the other ones? Not Serato DJ. There's the other one, Pro Tools, I think is the other one. But anyway, this is a music creation program, and it emulates the Core MS synthesizers. When people usually talk about the Korg MS-10, it's a single oscillator monosynth. This adds the sync that the Korg MS-20 doesn't have. So this was released originally in Japan on July 27th, 2008. October 10, 2008 in Europe, and November 4th, the same year in the United States. There's a newer DSi compatible version called the Korg DS10 Plus that was released in 2009, but we're talking about this one. So basically, it creates sound with two analog synthesizer emulators. Each with two voltage-controlled oscillators, where the Korg MS-10 had only one VCO. It has a sawtooth, a pulse, a triangle, and noise waveform. There's a four-part drum machine that uses the same techniques as the synthesizers. You can, of course, tweak them with virtual knobs, change the value of the synthesizer parameters, like cutoff, waveform shape, you know, just the typical stuff that you would have on like any DAW. But with the interface, since you're using the touchscreen, you can use your finger to move things around, to change your position. And it simulates, using a stylus, it simulates the Korg Chaos Pad, which is another touchscreen Korg sampler and audio processor. It came out in 1999. Pretty cool. You can record 21 sessions with 16 different step patterns with either live input or through a sequencer. I mean, this is fairly, you know, for something that is coming up on almost 20 years old, we're still using these same things today. When I make music and I'm playing with an EQ, I mean, or with any sort of software instrument, I'm usually tweaking the same type of stuff this is talking about. The effects it has available is a chorus, a flanger, a flanger, sorry, I always get the word bad, a delay parameter, which, I mean, again, that's standard fare. And you can edit the drum sounds. So they'll have different effects globally. So it did get a great review, 82 out of 100 on Metacritic, 85% on game rankings. IGN gave it a low score, the lowest score. Even then, it wasn't very low. It was 7.1 out of 10 and said, quote, "It isn't standalone full-featured music software. However, but other reviewers get very positive scores." I mean, basically, this is a great little synthesizer to have on the go. You can make tons of music with it. The example I saw today was actually using this and then some software that was made specifically for the Game Boy to use its in-system instruments. And did a nice little ditty out of the two. So there were follow-ups. There was the Korg MOND that came out for the 3DS and the eShop. That was in 2013. And it had sounds from the Korg M1 and sounds from the Korg O1W. In 2014, Korg DSN-12 came out on 3DS that focused, and I quote, the user creating their own unique synth sounds from scratch, and had a 3D oscilloscope screen that let you visualize your sounds. But yeah, it's honestly, I probably want to go pick this up. And I'm sure I can find it, you know, pretty easily. But especially with the fact I've been making, you know, my own stuff a lot lately, I think this is a fun tool. And it really is a full functioning system. Just, you know, you are going to need a few other bells and whistles, a few other accessories to get the most out of it. But there you go.
I still think that's pretty rad that, like, all these years later, this is still a very functional sort of music making system to be using. Kind of ironic because, you know, we had the Commodore 64 cameo earlier in the show, thanks to DJROMS. And I sort of see that in a similar thing, too, is that one of the best things that the Commodore 64 still has going for it all of these years later, fucking 40 years later after it was released, is that it makes some fucking incredible chiptune music that musicians today still use. And I think the same could be said of a platform like this. So,
you know, that name I was referring to was David Hillowitz.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm just going to, for those of us who are here in chat, I'm going to link his YouTube. But it's David Hillowitz Music. It's Hillowitz. He did that whole series using the Game Boy and the DS to make music and put that, you know, live up on how he does it, and so that other people can do it. But one thing I like is that he goes in and finds like interesting instruments out there and samples them. Like one of them was Casio's Vaporwave guitar, or an Omnicord, Casio keyboards, old mandolins, just kind of a toothbrush.
Mm.
He made samples from a toothbrush.
Mm. Neat.
But this one, when I saw that was there, I was like, oh, this is so cool. So I absolutely suggest finding that video on his channel and giving it a watch. But he goes a lot into this particular game as well.
All right. Cool pick. I mean, yeah, maybe it's more of an application for the system, but I don't know. They put it on a game cart. You know, I still say it fits. It's a good choice.
I reckon you could play with it.
That's right. I used to say playing with the piano when I'm just sitting there diddling out a song. So why not? All right. Anyway, there it is. Your classic game of the week. Just a little bit more for you. We didn't have a ton of news this week, surprisingly. We do have some rapid fire hits to get to. So Loki.
Yeah. So this is kind of fun. So you may remember back, I think it was for the PlayStation anniversary, the 30th anniversary, they had put up some limited time skins for your PlayStation 5 that kind of, you know, did like the PlayStation 1 boot up, PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, and stuff like that. But it was only a limited time thing. But now they've, with a new patch, they brought them back. So you can actually keep them on your console now and boot up with those classic themes. Pretty cool. I like that.
Nice. Let's move on to Dark Sakura.
So we have a Wheel of Time open world RPG adaptation. I know no one asked for this, but it looks like it's going to happen. I mean, people love Robert Jordan's book, so you know, there was a first-person shooter that was based off of it that's available on GOG. But yeah, this has a 3-year development cycle that they're anticipating, and it's going to be the involvement is going to be Warner Brothers Entertainment, Activision, EA, and Sierra Online.
All right. I don't know the books very well, but apparently the TV show is pretty good too. And I know people that are really into the books. So why not a game? Why not? Let's talk about a recent release that is landing very well with folks out there. It's Clair Obscur Expedition 33. I promise I will get around to this eventually because this really does sound like my jam. But it's only been out just a few days. And guess what? After those first 3 days, well, actually, I should say after the first day, it hit 500,000 in sales. And then after 3 days, it hit 1 million. And that is still considering it is available on Game Pass. So you can get the game on PC, Xbox Series X or S, and PlayStation 5. But the game is selling very well. Apparently, it has the highest Metacritic user score ever, which for an audience that likes to review bomb games all the time, this is doing very well. And I think some of those things Loki was saying earlier about the price, you know, the scope of the game, and just I think I saw a very interesting take on Eurogamer, where they were basically saying Square Enix needs to stop gaslighting us that we don't want a turn-based RPG with new graphics because Clair Obscur's sales ought to shut that right up. Essentially, I'm paraphrasing extensively. But I don't disagree. And it was funny because it was even Naoki Yoshida who said that comment about Final Fantasy 16, who's done a lot of great things for Final Fantasy. But I do think they're going to be looking at this with an interesting eye, going, maybe we should still be leaning into turn-based games a little bit, which they do in the retro-esque department, your Octopaths of the world and things like that, and Dragon Quest remakes. But I really think there's got to be a pause here about should Final Fantasy 17 be turn-based, which would be wild to see if that happens. I mean, they're probably far enough along in development if they did that. But I they're probably far enough along in development they can't 180. But then again, you think about how long 15 is when was in development, anything's possible. 17 could also be another online game, which would fit the every 3 pattern, 11, 14, although I guess that's not much of a pattern, but it could. So we'll see. All right. Fifth Dream in chat says 17 is an MMO. A lot of people seem to think that, but we'll see. Okay, moving on, let's travel around the world and check out some release dates, some games that are coming out in a store or digital storefront near you. Loki, let's start with the US.
Not a whole lot of things this week, but we've got Cooking Companions on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. Forza Horizon 5 on PlayStation 5. Fragpunk on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series. MotoGP 25 on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Xbox Series, and PlayStation 5. Neptunia Riders versus Doggos on PC. Skin Deep also on PC. We have Despolit on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series. Peglin on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series. Seed Style Lullaby on Nintendo Switch, iOS, and Android. And last but not least, Shotgun Cop Man on PC and Nintendo Switch.
I love that name. Shotgun Cop Man.
Shotgun Cop Man.
All right, well, heading over to Japan, guess what week it is? It's 1 week a year where I go wear the games.
There's tons of sales.
That's right. Golden Week is this week. So running from the 29th to May 6th, Showa Day, Constitution Memorial Day, Greenery Day, Children's Day. It's a busy week and not a busy week for game releases as a result in Japan. But actually surprising, I do have one on the Nintendo Switch. Ogu and the Secret Forest is coming out on the 29th. In Japan. And then MotoGP 25 is also out in Japan on the 30th. So I don't know how some games snuck through there, but they did. Just checking the PlayStation 5 just out of curiosity. Yeah, that MotoGP 25 is also released in Japan. I'm assuming the only reason that's coming out is because that's a worldwide release date. Otherwise, they would probably not released in Japan because of the holiday. But there you go. A very slow week, a very slow game release week in Japan. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
Oh, this and that. So we have on the 28th, we have Badlands Crew for PC. Warfare Legacy Collection as well. On PS5 on the 29th, we have Forza Horizon 5. as well as the 29th, we have Subway Sim 2 for PC, Xbox Series, and PS5. 30th, Skin Deep for PC, Moroi for PC, Star Vaders, Conquest Dark on PC, Xbox, and PlayStation. We have Keyborg. We have Moto GP 25, PC, PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, iOS, and Android, Once Human. That one doesn't have a date on it, so I'm going to move on to other things that do have a date on May 1st, because it's going to be May. Despelote, I guess, is how it's pronounced. PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, PC. Dig VR for PC and PSVR 2. Free Ride for PC. On the 2nd, Beyond Memories, Tales of the Heart for PC. And Maze Mice for PC.
All right. Still a pretty busy week in the non-Japan regions. All right.
Yarp.
Well, that was it for news. It was actually somewhat of a slow news week outside of everything that was going on with the Switch and the other things we've brought up earlier in the show. So this is the part where we go to the listener roundtable, where we ask for your feedback. We go to the mailbag every week. Participate at orangelaundry.com. I don't think we had anything in there.
There was a bunch of shit.
Oh, is this?
You know what we do with shit?
Flush it.
Flush it.
That's right. All that stuff. I do believe, though, it just popped in like the last 20 minutes. Somebody, a kind listener, has sent Loki, has sent you a key. You might already have this. I don't know. But has sent you a key code for Minecraft stuff from McDonald's. So there's a code in our mailbox for you.
Oh,
I'll have to forward it to you.
I didn't get the. All right, cool. Yeah, I'll check it out.
It was in the mailbox because I deleted everything.
It just came in. Well, I have it on. I'll forward it from my personal email. It just came in at like 7:02. So, like,
okay,
within the last hour.
I didn't see anything like that show up in our mailbox.
Okay, maybe it got forwarded to my personal email. I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, they brought back the chicken strips at McDonald's, though.
Oh, really?
So that's kind of cool. Oh, yeah, they're back. News. They call them McCrispies now. It's the same thing. Yeah.
If they cook them well enough.
I don't think anything would make me eat them.
Well, the one I had today, they overcooked them. They were very dry. But that can happen. But they are essentially.
So were they
the
McCrumbly instead of McCrispy?
They were McChewy.
McCrappy. Mm. Actually, pour one out. I just read this week that 200 Jack in the Box restaurants are going to close and that they're going to sell off Del Taco. Number one, I didn't realize Jack in the Box and Del Taco were owned by the same people.
As long as Del Taco lives.
I know. Del Taco, oh my God. Del Taco is seriously the most underrated fast food chain out there. And I know it's because they don't have them everywhere. I don't think they have them on the East Coast. I think it's a very California kind of thing. Although I think like
Arizona,
Nevada, Oregon, I think kind of play into that too. Del Taco is fucking good.
Where else can you get fries that are called macho fries?
Yeah, right? Like seriously? It's not In-N-Out you need to have when you're in California. It's fucking Del Taco.
When you remember my friend JJ, mm-hmm. When he came out, he's like, I have to go to a Taco Bell because like the nearest one is like way over here in Australia. And I'm like, no, we're taking you to Del Taco. And there were no cuts.
I love that. Jack in the Box is closing apparently 200 stores, and that's upsetting.
We had a Jack in the Box in Dothan, Alabama.
Yeah.
It had been closed over and over for food poisoning.
Hmm.
All kind of code violations until it finally just went away.
I really do. And again, I'm not being paid to say it. I really do think it's the best fast food because they have such a diverse menu that there's so many like things you can get there. Like, sure, you can think that usually I'll say, oh, Jack in the Box. I love Jack in the Box. And somebody will instantly reply with, they have the shittiest tacos. Fine. Do you know number one, like tacos are like one thing on their menu of like 200 items because it completely caters to stoners. Like then order something else. There's lots of things.
They have better things, but I got really grossed out by their tacos when I could see how much grease was dripping off.
I mean, it's a
deep, it was a river.
It's a deep. It's an empanada. It's deep fried. Like anyway. All right. No. I want to get to the.
If I'm gonna eat food so greasy, it's gonna make me sick. I'm gonna go to Jim Boy's.
I was gonna say Jim Boy's is the taco you eat if you know. Yeah. Anyway,
if you don't care about your insides.
All right, let's get to Blue Sky, because I did put a bleed up earlier and a lot of you were very good at responding to it. So thank you. I put a bleed up over on our Blue Sky, which is at orangeloungeradio.com. We're verified by domain name. So you just look for orangeloungeradio.com. And we asked on Blue Sky this week, for those of you that attempted a pre-order on Switch 2, how was that experience for you? And for those of you that didn't pre-order the console, what made you a no or a not now? So I wanted to include everybody and fully realize there's a lot of people that were a no or just can't do it right now. So we wanted to hear from both sides. So Dark Tetsuya starts us off saying, it all comes down to the money situation. $4.99 is a pretty tall ask, and the most we'll be paying for one of these this generation. So mostly just crossing our fingers that somewhere we'll have one when early June rolls around and just split the cost of one then. And hopefully down the line, get a second one so we won't have to share one. But we'll start with the one and go from there. You know, that's a really realistic perspective. And I think part of the important reason for asking this question is that many of us need to realize that being able to just drop $500 on one of these is a privilege. I mean, it is not something that everybody is going to be able to afford out the gate. I will never forget years ago, maybe 10 years ago, we'll say, we had somebody come into the chat room and say, I can only afford to play Nintendo 64 games. Does that make me a gamer? Because I can't play the current stuff. And the answer, as you can imagine, was a resounding fucking yes. Just because you can't afford the latest and greatest doesn't mean you aren't a true gamer. And thankfully, there are lots of ways to get, you know, secondhand games. And, you know, there's the Nintendo 64 and all these other consoles have wonderful libraries where I doubt you've played every single game that's available on them. So, you know, never let someone question your gamer cred because you can't afford the latest and greatest.
Gamer is one who games.
That's right.
It doesn't say one who games the PlayStation 50,000.
That's right.
Or it's one who games.
Yeah. And in time, there will be secondhand versions of this and, you know, the price will come down and so forth. As gaming enthusiasts, we have to talk about the latest and greatest because it's where the industry is going. But you'll notice all of us, and maybe that's part of what draws some of you to our show, all of us have a soft spot for retro, like hard. So we're always going to love the classics too. So we talk about both here on this show. But I just kind of wanted to have that humbling reminder that this is not everybody can just drop $500 on a system. So something important to keep in mind.
Also, not everybody wants to.
That's right. That's right. And you don't have to. Redertainment also is in the no camp, saying not now, as I didn't realistically think I'd be able to get one and I'm not apt to jump through hoops to get it. Also, this statement could apply to any recent gaming console upon release. That's true. You know, PlayStation 5s were impossible to get. I didn't get a PlayStation 5 for years after the fact. That doesn't make me any less of a gamer, I don't think.
By the time I could get one, I didn't care.
Yeah, right. Pod Culture replied to us on Blue Sky saying, I really want one, but got to get past the hailstorm damage to the house fixed first. Again, priorities, right? Makes sense. We have a lot of no's. We have a lot of no's because Mike Def says, I didn't pre-order. Not that I don't want the console. I think it's worth the price of the mission in the U.S. But here's the problem is Mike Def is in Mexico. In Mexico, the Mario Kart World bundle being just over $750 is insane. And that's not even the tariffs. That's because the distributor for anything Nintendo related, Latamel, I guess is the company, they inflate the prices by a lot sometimes, but the Switch 2 prices really took the cake. Either way, I'll just wait for when I can afford to get one, whether it's at launch or by the end of the year. I'm not in a hurry to get it. So that's a very realistic perspective of not being in the U.S., as well. We heard from our old pal Megzy on Blue Sky, who said, I fell asleep Wednesday night and completely missed the first round of pre-orders. Then when I tried to pre-order through GameStop, the website crashed. Luckily, I have a GameStop right by my apartment and a very chill boss, so I took a few hours of vacation from work to go wait in line in person. It took a few hours waiting, but I got the pre-order plus a giant Sonic plush. And I know Megzy is a big fan of the Sonic movies recently. I think Megzy and Tiger Claw have a lot in common in that department. So I love that Megzy got their Sonic 3 plushie is wonderful. So great. Thanks. It's good to hear from you, Megzy. I hope you're doing well. We also have, okay, this is from Roto 13 on Blue Sky, but I fucking love the name called The Shitty Gatsby.
That's great.
Not The Great Gatsby. but their cousin, the shitty Gatsby, who says, I stood in line with 100 people for hours at GameStop, but apparently I didn't need to because they still had pre-orders available as of late this morning. Yeah, I heard that a lot of GameStop still. So those of you that still want one, call GameStop. You might be surprised. GameStop has a tracker up here in Canada, and a lot of stores still have at least a few left. Vegetto EX, another name I haven't seen in a long time, good to hear from you, says, had one in my Target cart, but couldn't check out all night long due to errors. So somebody that experienced what Loki had. Best Buy silently kicked me out of its queue multiple times. Walmart worked out. At some point, it offered me the chance to buy and bought no problem. Managed to get a second next day via GameStop's dumpster fire sale. Yep. Josh Bett.
I like that it's a dumpster fire.
That's right. Always a pleasure to hear from Josh Bett over on Blue Sky, who says, my buddy and I tried and we were both successful. I have both a website and mobile app available and everything immediately crashed when pre-orders went live. I was prepared due to experience with the PlayStation 5 debacle, so I brute forced through all errors and faults out of stock messages and got one. Very interesting perspective about lessons learned from prior launches. My friend was less lucky and had to pay attention for several hours and multiple websites broke and deleted his payment information, address, etc. So he had to keep actively trying. It even refused a payment option. He finally got one after 2+ hours. Was surprised there were still some there. Yeah, so apparently it might have gotten a little easier. I don't know what happened there. We heard from Coral Rose. Hello, Ms. Coral Rose, who says, I tried at Target and their site was quite broken. I got to place an order. It was canceled a minute or so later. I also tried Best Buy and was successful there. I hope there's at least one more round of pre-orders like Sony did with the 30th anniversary PlayStation 5. Much nicer. We heard from Marquito over on Blue Sky, who said, it was frustrating, but I got mine through Best Buy eventually. After they started pre-orders, half an hour late, yep, queued me for another half hour, then emptied my cart. So guess what? Happened to him too. I selected a different bundle, and then it worked in just a few minutes. Why? I wish I knew. I wish I knew too.
Because of reasons.
Our new favorite name on Twitch, FOMO's a Mofo, or Blue Swim, replied and said, it was an intense hour and a half of bouncing back and forth between laptop, two tablets, and a phone, but I managed to get two orders in at Walmart and Best Buy. Not scalping, just keeping one. The rest are backups in case of cancellations. Target was a nightmare. Got it in the cart, but could never check out. Kept getting error after error. The only thing I snagged there was the camera. Walmart and Best Buy were mostly a matter of waiting around for something to happen. One Walmart window let me through to the product page, but would give me an error when I tried to add it to the cart. Kept trying for the entire 10-minute window they gave you, but nothing. After that, everything went pretty smoothly. Our pal Slaggy McWaggy from the GameBuoy.org podcast. Hello. And listen to GameBuoy.org if you're not already. Says, dealt with Target site breaking, went got one to go through, and it immediately got canceled. Walmart went pretty smoothly and was able to get a secure one, but not for launch day delivery. Tried on Best Buy, got kicked out of the queue, but it ended up working out, so I canceled my Walmart one. Walmart's process was by far the smoothest, but Best Buy was my preferred retailer, so I could get it in person, and I'm not a fan of the others for reasons. So I'm glad it worked out the way it did and consider myself very fortunate that I was able to get one. And then, oh my Dolly, which is Dolly Partner, says, I guess I was one of the lucky.
That's a good name.
It really is. I guess I was one of the lucky ones. I managed to pre-order one that actually reminds me. I took a picture of a Dolly mural downtown that I was going to bleat out to Dolly Partner. This reminds me I need to do it. Anyway.
Send me a picture.
Yeah, I will. I guess I was one of the lucky ones. I managed to pre-order one from Target right at 12:01 a.m. And so far, it hasn't been canceled. I've seen lots of people saying they've got cancellation emails, so I've been avoiding checking my email, but I do keep an eye on the Target app. Also, I've been feeling pretty guilty for using them because of all the evil shit they've been doing. I get that, but like, there's a lot of problematic shit going on in this country right now. And ultimately, it's because of the guy in charge. And I get really frustrated. I understand if people want to boycott Target or whatever they're boycotting. And I'm glad people called it out. I think Walmart has just as many problematic issues. And I'm sure there is something wrong with Best Buy that we just aren't hearing about on a mass scale, but we'll hear eventually. I'm sure we'll hear about it them too, because it just feels, you know, again, we're living in a there's no ethical consumption in capitalism type of era. But I mean, I do get frustrated when I hear people that are screaming, you need to boycott Target, and then they didn't vote in the last election. Because mm-hmm. the easiest way to have prevented a worldwide backlash, or not, so I'm sorry, not worldwide. That was the wrong word. My apologies. A nationwide, which sometimes feels like the world and the trickle-down effect things have, a nationwide backlash, or whatever you want to call it, on DEI is because of who got elected and all these executive orders and all this bullshit that they're putting out there threatening to pull all this stuff, because heaven forbid.
The UK's following suit.
Yeah, exactly. That's why, I guess maybe that's why worldwide was the first word that came to my mind, even though let's not kid ourselves. This is a problem of who people elected or weren't voting for. The time to have fought back against this was at the voting booth, but y'all were finding problems with Kamala. Y'all wanted to bring these problems to Kamala. If the needle could have never been moved, y'all wanted to say she was an imperfect candidate, therefore she should win. And now here we are. Congratulations, you played yourselves. I hope y'all learned your lesson for next time. And I'm sorry, but like, I understand, I respect why people feel the need to boycott Target. It's not going to fix the problems in this country. We did get some last minute answers here, and SGO100 Matt says, but her laugh was strange, and I also fully realize she was the best candidate that could have possibly happened in 100 days. She 47 has been in office longer than Kamala Harris ran for office. Put that into perspective a little bit. She did the best she could. It's Biden's team fault that we didn't get a proper primary. That's who I ultimately blame for this.
And Biden shouldn't have run at all.
He shouldn't
have been her from the get-go.
He shouldn't have. And there should have been a primary process that I believe she would have been the candidate to emerge from. But fine, allow people to fight it out and figure it out from there. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Like, at this point, it doesn't matter. We can go coulda, woulda, shoulda, but now we have to deal with here we are. So anyway. Congress could get rid of the tariff tomorrow. Congress could fix a lot of the problems with the DEI backlash tomorrow, but they won't. Orange Wright says, I ended up getting lucky at Best Buy so far anyway. I managed to reload Best Buy at the exact right time, clicked the checkout button, got in line, waited for 40 minutes, and eventually it went through. And then I tried other stores at the same time to triple my chances. Target kept giving me errors until it sold out, and I got out of line at Walmart because I heard just getting a non-bundle would check out normally, which, yes, sold out. So thank you all for your responses on social media. I need to ask those questions more often because we had a very nice response. So thank you all on Blue Sky. I appreciate it. But what's up with me having to do all the reading now? This is supposed to be Jamie's job.
Because it's not the mail,
but it is. And you know, I'm just giving you shit, but it's one of those things where it's like, wow, we really are getting away from a lot of these forms of media. It really is turning into short form social media. It's just another example of that. So anyway, all right. Well, one person we'll still turn to here is Loki.
I've decided, I'm sorry. I made a decision.
Okay.
If someone wants to know my thoughts on something, they can fucking ask me and I will tell them.
What are your thoughts on, I don't know. Now that I'm in the moment, I don't know what to ask. What are your thoughts on Diet Coke versus Diet Pepsi?
Diet Pepsi all the way. Okay. Fuck Coke.
All right.
Diet Pepsi.
As I drink a Coke Zero, but in my defense, this is one of those orange cream Coke Zeros. They're really good.
Those aren't
really
very good either. I like the Oreo ones.
All right. Oh, yeah, the Oreo ones are fucking great. I wish they'd bring those back.
Shadow, your job is in jeopardy now. Do not call the boss a heathen. Joking.
All right. Loki. Hey,
you can play terrible soda all you want.
That's right. More terrible soda for you. All right. Let's go to the boss of last minute stories. Loki, anything for us tonight? Loki, you're muted because I see the mouth moving, but nothing's happening.
I was going to say... Yeah, we're on top of all of the most critical news when it comes to modern consoles. So now I have to tell you that your brand new Wii system, unfortunately, the Homebrew channel is no longer to be in development. I mean, I get it. It's several months or years ago. But essentially, it's been revealed that apparently threading an OS implementation in one of the libraries was stolen. And the authors of Libo GC, it says they didn't just steal proprietary Nintendo code, but also saw fit to steal open source RTOS and remove all attribution and copyright information. Who would have thought in the piracy world there's people willing to steal things?
Mm-hmm. Especially we know there was some big leaks out of Nintendo not long ago, so it kind of adds up a little bit. Oh,
yeah.
The plot thickens.
Hello.
All right. Well, if that's it, then we will say thank you so much for listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you all for being here tonight. Appreciate you. If you want to continue the conversation throughout the week, join our Discord server, vognetwork.com. That's vognetwork.com/Discord. We're happy to talk to you throughout the week. But if you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, help us spread the word. Tell a friend or two about the show. We are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need more voices to put out on air. Thank you to all the voices we heard tonight, whether through chat, whether through Blue Sky, whether through Carrier Pigeon, or however you're interacting with the show. Thank you so much for that. Whether through shipped Commodore 64s, which I still can't believe. Thank you so much for that. A nice 5-star review goes a long way as well, either on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, wherever you're finding this show. All of that goes a very long way. Thank you, thank you, thank you. With that, we're going to wrap it up for tonight. Jamie, are you streaming tonight? I actually don't know.
Yeah, I am for okay. A little bit. Right. I am going to drink some Scottish soda on stream unless somebody drank it already.
Okay. Well, would you like to give us your final thoughts then?
I'm tired.
All right. Well,
I'm tired. Tired of love uninspired.
All right. Have a good stream, Jamie.
Bye. Thanks.
All right, Loki. That means we go to you with your final thought.
My final thought is I hope I'm not still setting up this handheld emulation device next week because it's sure taking a long time.
I hope not either, but you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to play Minecraft.
Sometimes.
That's right. Let's see. My final thought tonight is, I am going on a quick trip next weekend. I'm going to be running to the show last minute. So, by the way, I forgot to tell you and Jamie, the show roll is going to be very last minute next week because I'm going to LA. Because we're going to see Kylie Minogue again. I saw Kylie Minogue on Tuesday. It was such a good show. Like, especially for an arena show. I had the best time, and you know, I love Kylie, and yeah, she's great. And so, what's better than seeing her once, seeing her twice? One of my friends was like, I want to go to LA to see her again. And I was like, so do I, we're going to go. And so we're going to LA to see her again. And then we're thinking about going to the Universal Fan Nights because I want to see the Star Trek thing. And my friend that is meeting us in LA is from the Star Trek cruise. So we might go Star Trek together. So we're going to do that. The concert's Friday. We're going to do Friday, Saturday, and then drive home Sunday in a rush and get back in time for the show. That's the plan. So, all right.
Sounds busy.
Yeah, it's going to be busy, but I'm still living my life like I'm in my mid-20s, and one of these days I'm probably going to be very unhappy with that decision. But for now, I'm having a great time. So until then, have a great week, everybody. We will see you next time here on Orange Lounge Radio. Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for our live show, tune in to vognetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio nor Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.